Amen.
Amen. Irma said she's coming to get some prophetic teaching. Hallelujah.
I know she was already preaching. I was looking for a spot to jump in.
Not yet.
We're excited about what God is doing. Early in the year, it's already early, just a few days into the new year, amen, January. Amen, we haven't even hit the 21st yet. And how many are already giving up on the promise? Not even 21 days in. How many have slipped up and said some things out of your mouth like, I don't know what's going to be in this year. This year just ain't, it ain't starting out like I wanted. Early in the year, 21 days of fasting and praying. Not a hard thing. A lot of people think fasting is about how difficult it is, and that's what makes it a fast. No. They look at what type or how or what you do. You know, we just do little simple guidelines to just put the thought of fasting in your heart. And then the fast originates out of the person.
Amen.
You know, if we say first 5 days, no sweets or sweet drinks, and you say, I don't do that anyway.
Right. Something else to fast from.
You put two other things in there that you do.
Amen.
You understand?
Amen.
And then you say, I'm doing these because I don't do sweets or I don't do sugary drinks. You see what I'm saying? You come back and you say, well, the following week is meats, grease, and sweets. Well, I don't do fried foods. Well, you find something else.
That
and you put it there. You see
Amen.
What I'm saying? That you eat and that you don't eat. And for many of you, if you're like me, I don't have a favorite food. And I'm not big on food. So fasting from food really is not a major issue to me, but it has to, it's the principle of fasting, mm-hmm. not the food or the type of food, because I don't have any of those that are dear to me or that I really, really, really like. Why am I saying that? Because so many times we get caught in the religiosity.
Right, right.
We get caught in the religion of what it is instead of the principle of what it is. It's turning down or turning away from something. Why? If I just turn away from something but don't turn to something,
yes.
I'm just avoiding.
Right.
I'm not fasting. I'm living a 21 days of avoidance. Don't show me no candy. Don't show me no cakes. Don't show me. But I'm avoiding. And on the 22nd day, I'm going to eat everything I can find. Did I really fast?
Yeah.
Or did I just avoid?
Yeah.
And most of us live an avoidant lifestyle.
Yes.
We avoid being open in public. We avoid, you know, things that we don't want to deal with. And we're just saying in these 21 days, in this
yes.
year of establishing,
yes.
we're not living a life of avoidance.
Yes.
We're not hiding from different things that come our way, different things that come at us, but we're dealing with those things. And the fast
yes.
is a time where things should come to you.
Yes, yes.
Because now your flesh won't be able to dominate how you normally would handle that thing, but
yes.
your spirit will give you wisdom
yes.
on what to do in that matter.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Somebody already ought to give God
Amen.
A praise right there. Amen.
Amen.
As
Even
we begin to look at this
five
year.
Consecutive uh-huh. days that we're fasting corporately, place a demand on the Holy Spirit for the grace and the favor of God to rest upon you and your household, just as it's resting upon RCC. How many of you know what God does for RCC, he ought to be doing for your individual homes as well?
Amen.
Let me see, is anybody believing God for a home? I need you to stand to your feet, just being led. Even as we're trusting and believing God for a facility this year, somebody say this year. So shall it be that God will grant the request of your hearts this year. Whatever it is that you're believing or need God to establish in your life, the anointing, the heavy glory of God, the cloud, the glory cloud that's on us to push us into the places and the promises of God is the same glory cloud I decree that's resting on your life that will open up doors of opportunity for you that you will not have to open for yourself.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Just receive that. Amen.
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 Amen. If you have your Bibles, and then Pastor Vicky, you jump right into these nines after they get them set up. But I just sensed a reading of this scripture. It's not anywhere in my notes, but it's just on my heart based on the atmosphere and based on where we are in this season. That's another thing God is doing. And I want the ministers, the elders, the pastors, the teachers, evangelists, all of the fivefold, I want you to begin to rely more on your spirit.
Yes, yes.
This year than your notes.
Yeah.
I'm not saying don't do notes.
Right.
I'm saying when you do them, rely on your spirit to minister them.
Amen.
Even on Wednesday nights when you come forth, rely on your spirit to be the anointing of the teacher, not just your notes to be the anointing of the guide. But have confidence that in your preparation,
yes,
God will release your spirit,
mm-hmm, yes,
to minister to the people in a greater way. So that it's not bound by the notes, but you can be fluid and you can hear. Even now, I'm just hearing Psalms 1. I don't know what's there, but I'm bold enough to go and look at it. You understand?
Yes.
Because if he's saying it and it's his word, there's something that he's already saying in there. Amen.
Something relevant.
And then we go from there. But Psalms 1 says, blessed. That's enough already.
Yes. Receive your blessing. Hallelujah.
Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. My God. Who's speaking into your life this year? Who's giving you counsel? Who are you turning to? Who are you listening to this year?
Yes.
Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Who's talking to you about the things of God?
Yes.
And trying to get you to understand from their perspective,
yes,
instead of the perspective of the Holy Spirit. Blessed is the man that does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. You know, the ungodly gives counsel. It don't take all of that for praise and worship.
Right.
You came in here and you know what time it is already, and they doing all of that jumping and shouting and dancing. It don't take all of that. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, for we in preparation for when we get to heaven, mm-hmm, and they said, that's going to be a praise celebration all day. And if we don't like it in the earth realm,
right,
how are we going to deal with it when we get to heaven?
Right.
And it ain't that we don't like praise.
Yes.
Many times we just don't like the person that's praising.
Yeah. Baby, sometimes culture shock comes when we open, when God opened up those gates to heaven and we see the streets are paved with gold, some of us going to fall out right then and there.
Right there.
Because on earth, we have been told for so long, Elder Gale, you don't need all those resources. But how many of you know you can't give what you don't got? Cannot release what has not been released unto you. And those streets paved with gold in heaven is symbolic that we must be a blessed man and a blessed woman of God. Come on, so that we can give what we keep teaching out of our overflow. So that when we give, we don't turn around and say, now how am I going to take care of me and my four?
Uh-huh.
Come on, the streets are paved with gold. Somebody say, I need more.
I need more.
Not for me, not for myself, but we need more for others.
For others.
Amen.
Amen.
So we can establish this covenant with God.
Amen.
When he says that all the nations of the earth will call you blessed. Come on, what did we say? Our feet may not ever make it to Uganda, but how about that school? Come on, and the seed that we sow into the school in Uganda. If our seed is there, babe, I'm here to tell you, we are there, and it's time for us to rise up as a people of the nation and reach them through our giving.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners. Stand in the way of sinners. That's not like getting in the way of the sinner to keep them from sinning, but that's getting in front of the sinners and entertaining their sin.
Entertaining.
Stand in the way of sinners. I'm standing with you, understanding that your lifestyle is that of a sinner,
mm-hmm,
but I don't have enough light in me. Or I don't have enough godliness in me to make you uncomfortable with sinning before me. And so you think you can come in front of me and act a fool, and I got to stand for it.
Yeah, wow. Because, baby, we don't condemn the sinner, but we don't condone the sin either.
You understand?
We don't just okay it and open up the door for them to conduct more sin. Somebody mm-hmm. said, we don't condemn them. But if you ask me, how many of you know if the sinner man ask you? You need to tell them the truth.
The word still prevails.
We need to tell them the truth.
Uh-huh.
Amen.
You got to catch that.
Don't condone the sin. Tell the truth. Nor, how many of you know the light will be revealed in the midst of darkness?
Look at this progression, though. He don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor does he stand in the way of sinners, nor does he sit in the seat of the scornful. Three things there that we ought to be able to look at. Avoiding ungodly counsel. Mm-hmm. Hanging out or being in the way of sinners or sitting with those that have been scorned or scornful. Mm. You know, you've been through something and you've been hurt and you still have that hurt and you start delivering that hurt to other people. Mm-hmm. The saying was hurt people hurt people.
Right.
You understand? And so now if hurt people, then the healed people of God has to be more powerful and bring
wow.
healing to people that have been hurt.
Wow.
Amen? This is one of the places where wow. when you come to RCC, Restoration Christian Church, or any other church
wow.
that names the name of the Lord, it ought to be a place where all hurts can be mended and can be healed.
Wow.
You understand that? If the people come in hurt and they leave still hurt,
wow.
maybe we missed our assignment that morning
wow.
and we didn't represent the true
yeah.
and the living God. But we're not entertaining wow. or sitting in the seat. We're not massaging soothing
mm-hmm.
scorned people.
Mm-hmm.
We're telling them, you made it out.
Yeah, yeah.
You got out.
Yeah.
Now get up
yeah.
and get over it
yeah.
and let it go.
Yeah.
Because it's not hurting the people who you're scorned at or who you're scorning. It's keeping you from being able to walk
mm-hmm.
in the counsel and in the presence of
yes.
God. So you got to be healed again
wow.
and let it go.
Wow. And let me say this, because this is an area of ministry that's being overlooked in the body of Christ.
Uh-huh.
Delivered people ought to be able to help deliver other people. We have such an oppressed, suppressed body of believers now that's going to go and enter into the gates of heaven, and they're going to still be addicted to drugs, addicted to alcohol, come on, smoking, cussing, abusive, resentful, come on, angry, holding for unforgiveness of the past, but they believe in Jesus and they're going to make it in. But when it comes time for the crowns, the crown of glory, we're going to miss out on some of the rewards that we are entitled to when we get there. But how many of you want your crown of glory?
Amen.
So if we have been delivered, you know, out of the abundance of the heart, people start talking. You want to know what's going on in somebody's life? Just ask them how they're doing. You will be able to identify, right, Nakia, where that person is right then and there. And if you can detect that they have not been delivered, and you have, come on, it's the same power that saved and set us free. It's the
yeah.
same power of God that will deliver them out of the grips and the snares of Satan.
What are we
who's
saying?
Using them like a puppet. Believe in God because the heart is right, but still leading and guiding them like a puppet into the ways of evil and dark thinking.
Yeah.
Somebody say, if I've been delivered,
God
can use me to aid in the deliverance
yeah.
of somebody else.
Yeah. That's part of the establishing
Amen.
Process. You understand, whatever he brings us through, he establishes us in that thing.
Yes, he does.
And then he gives us the spiritual eyes
yes.
to discern what he brought us out of in
Open
somebody else.
Eyes.
Not that we can judge them and point at them and say, hey, he in sin. I know
right.
what he's doing. Not that you can call them out publicly or put them on notice or on blast in front of other people, but that you can find a private moment to go to them and
yes.
say, hey, man of God, woman of God, you know
yes.
I've been through a
yes.
certain thing and God brought me out of that. And God just leading me to share with you.
Yes.
I may be, and give yourself a disclosure.
Yes.
I may be all the way in left field and I can be totally wrong with where
but
I am.
Not.
And if I am, hey, forgive me. But if I'm right, I want you to understand I'm
yes.
here. I'm here not to judge, but to stand with you and to
yes.
help you to make it through this situation in your life. Amen.
Amen.
More of us got to be able to stand with somebody that's going through something instead of just pointing them out and calling them out. Amen.
Amen.
If God delivered you,
wow.
he can deliver others.
Yes,
I remember,
yes, yes.
man, I was a sailor and I was in the Navy and Minister Marge, I was a good one. I had the qualifications. I had a coffee cup. In profanity. That's all I needed
all
to make
needed.
Rank. Every other word, man, I used profanity and I cursed, and every statement I made, it had something with profanity tied into it. And I could just run it like it was water. And God never browbeat me. He never beat me up for using profanity. But every time I would walk around the screen from playing spades or whatever and would lay down on that rack, the Holy Spirit would start talking to me and say, you know, you could have said that a different way. And this is how he dealt with me, through loving kindness and peace. He says, you could have used another word where you used that word, and it still would have been just as funny and meant the same thing. Why did you use that word? And he would just talk to me like that. And every time I would use it, he would just come and talk to me and give me word sources. He would never beat me up, but give me word sources and say, why won't you try this? You're already the leader.
Yes.
But you're trying to make yourself be something that you don't have to because they're already following you. Why don't you just lead the way you're called to, and they're going to follow you, whether you're using profanity, whether you're drinking, whether you're running, whatever you're doing, they're already watching you, and they're following your lead. So when you change, they'll change. And I can promise you, when I stopped using profanity, it didn't change anything with those people following me and walking behind me. As a matter of fact, they walked more closely. And one of them some years ago, maybe about 2 years ago, came and said, your life has been consistent. When you changed and you stopped doing a thing, you didn't go back and pick it up when all of us were still doing it. And I want you to understand something. I can follow you because I've watched you and I've seen your consistency. And whatever I'm dealing with, you have permission to speak to. And they're not a member of RCC. But they saw the lifestyle and they saw the consistency and they saw how God worked in my life. And I didn't condemn them when they were still using profanity, but I kept using other word choices. When you be who you are and who God created you to be, and don't condescend and go to a lower level of the company that you're keeping, but stay in your elevated place. God begins to use you in that time as a watchman to gather out the stones, to make a way, to prepare for that person to come into their deliverance and into their transition. And it's at that place where you become a witness or an ambassador for Christ, and you begin to draw people out of darkness and into the marvelous light.
Yes. Let me share this so you could just see the trickle-down effect of that authority that apostle had to walk in. Because some people are in bondage to that for a lifetime. And repelling people instead of drawing people, that authority that he exercised in his life. So let me just pick up on the story. So then we get married. And I'm vexed with spirits. Vexed, jealousy, envy, overindulgence, you name it. I'm vexed with spirits. But I wanted to do good. And I remember laying in my bed one night, Elder Rodney, I speak to all the men of God that's walking in a headship anointing that has been bestowed upon you through the power and authority of Jesus Christ. So I'm laying in the bed one day, and Pastor Charlie apparently looks at me and says, enough is enough. And Al, I remember him telling me the story because I woke up a couple days later and said, man, I just feel different. He said, what you feel? I said, I feel lighter. I feel freer. Baby, I feel happy. I feel like I've got the joy of the Lord. And he says to me, Elder Gale, well, you should. He said, because a couple of nights ago while you were sleeping, I looked at you and I said, you're not my wife. You're a spirit that's at work in my wife, but I call you out now in the name of Jesus. No longer shall you torment, vex, and disturb this woman of God from the call of God that is on her life. So people who always want to know, baby, why do you walk in such authority? Because guess what? The authority was released from him onto me. So now you look at our children and want to know, how is it that in a world that's full of evil and corruption, come on, that they are able to maintain straight A honor roll? And not be distracted by peer pressure. Come on. And the friends that are pulling them this way and that way, that they can stand their ground and be rooted and established in the faith of God. Because that same authority he exercised, he delivers me. And now I'm able to exercise and deliver my children. And that's why we say ministry isn't just established in the pulpit. Ministry is established from the seats. You gotta catch it, because when we go into this definition of establishing, you're gonna see that it's something that's meant to last throughout the lifetime.
Amen.
And it doesn't start and finish with us. Amen. It trickles. Come on, I'm talking about the trickle down effect. Somebody caught that. The same same way I showed you all Jonathan and Jeremiah in the natural, that same trickle-down effect takes place, we showed you, through the spiritual sons and daughters who we conceived out of our spirit womb, who were planted and then birthed out of the spirit womb. That's why you see us up here doing ministry together.
Yeah.
Because it took two of us to birth the spiritual gifts that's sitting in this chair. Amen?
Amen. When you talk about the process of becoming one, and then I'm going to read the scripture and then jump into definitions.
Gotcha.
But when you talk about the process of becoming one, it's the release of the equality in authority. It doesn't diminish my headship.
Not at all.
But when you talk about the process of becoming one, it brings her from an inferior place to the place of being my equal. You understand? From an inferior place to the place of being my equal, and that's where we become one again, walking in that same authority and in that same anointing. She's not beneath me, but yet at the same time, I'm still her head.
Yes.
You understand? I'm still her head, but she has a co-equal place to rule and to reign with me, and it puts her on the same level instead of under my feet or behind me. And that's what a marriage really is. A marriage is not the I do, it's the relinquishing of that authority to be my equal and to walk beside me and to do the same thing that I do. And so we look at that, and so that's where you look at when we look at this Psalms, I'm just going to read this and we hit these definitions because there's something there.
Amen.
It says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. What is the law of the Lord? The word of God. His delight is in the word. Everywhere you see law, just replace it with word. But his delight is in the word of the Lord. Every time we go to the word of the Lord, we get tired and we put it on a clock. Before we came up here, I told Pastor Vicky, I said, we're going to shoot for 45 minutes. And she said, I don't even know why you said that. I said, because I know we can't do it, but we're going to shoot for 45 minutes. You understand? When it's time for the word, we automatically turn the clock on. But look at what the word of God says. But his delight is in the word of the Lord. The same amount of time you praise, you ought to take equal amount of time for the word or the investigation of the word of the Lord.
Amen.
Whatever you do in service, you don't have to stay there all day. But if you're going to cut anything, don't cut the word.
Don't
amen.
Cut the word.
Reduce something else so that the word will have time to flourish. but you got to look at that thing. But we put the word under the word is one of the last things we do, but it gets the time factor.
Yeah.
Man, I don't know, man. That's too long for anybody. They know you cut the word down some. But the word is the thing that we need the most in our life. It's the word that brings us through our day. Amen.
Yes.
It's the word that's the instruction of the authority of the power of God.
Yes.
So our delight, what do you love the most about your life? The word.
Amen. Amen.
What do you love the most about your day? The word. If you haven't had the word in that day, you can't say that you really love the word for that day. Amen. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law or in his word, does he meditate day and night? No clock. No restrictions. Day and night. When do you meditate? In the day and at night. Pastor Vicky got a thing when she's at, she called it warfare and all that other stuff. I think she's sleeping.
Resting, praying, warfaring, and meditating.
She tell me she's doing all of that stuff. I go in there and wake her up. Hey, what you doing? I'm resting, praying, warfaring, and meditating. Hey, I don't know. That looked like sleep to me. but you do it so good that you got peace with it. You understand? Everybody else I see doing that stuff, they up, sweating, crying, got rags with them.
I'm walking in the authority that you gave, eh?
Keep doing what you're doing.
Relinquished.
I do that same thing, sleep, that she do. Look at this. And he shall be, this is the establishing
Amen.
Place. This is where God wanted
like
us to see.
Tree.
And he shall be like a tree planted. Look at somebody and say planted.
Planted.
Look at somebody and say planted. When you hear these definitions, you're going to understand.
Amen.
Establish. You got to be planted in this year and in this season. You can't be like the man in the New Testament. He said, God, Jesus touched him and then said, open your eyes and what do you see? He said, I see men walking as trees. That's a distorted view. Trees don't walk. Trees are planted.
Yes.
Wherever you put that tree, every year you go back, that tree is going to be in that same place. But it's living because it's growing, and that's an indicator. But it don't have to get in some new dirt. It don't have to say, I don't like the front yard. I want to be in the backyard. Or, why you ain't put me on the side of the house with the other trees? More traffic come by that way. Wherever you plant that tree grows because it's designed to do exactly what it's supposed to do. But if you put the tree in too small of a pot, The tree will only grow to the size of the pot that you set it in.
Yes.
And if you don't move it at a point that it matures, what was now living begins to grow. And that's where many of us are in the body of Christ. He set us in to become oaks of righteousness,
yes,
as he says in the book of Isaiah. But many of us are weeping willows. Many of us, our leaves have turned down and we begin to grow with downward spirits, and our heart and our praise is cast down to the ground instead of reaching back up to the heavens, because we have changed our countenance and our character. And God says, I want you to be planted, and I want you to be planted in the word so that you can be fully established in this year. Let me just finish this reading and then you jump it. He says, you'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Your drought is over.
Yes, Jesus.
You got to understand this. He says, planted by rivers of waters. You understand, that tree does not get the water comes from the bottom and goes to the top.
Yes.
When we talk about establishing,
yes,
we're not talking about that people see.
That's good.
Oh, I didn't think nobody would say amen. We're not talking about that people see.
Yes.
We're talking about the root level of your,
yes,
life, that's underground, that's drawing in the water, in the oil, in the anointing. What,
yes,
people see, you understand, can be a figment of their imagination. You might look like something that you're really not. And he said, be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit. Fruitfulness is what we're talking about. Establishing,
mm-hmm,
and then one of those pillars up there is fruit.
That's
he
it.
Shall bring forth his fruit. Look at somebody and say, I'm bringing forth my fruit
I'm bringing forth my fruit this year.
In his season.
In his season.
You got to believe that it's your season then.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to prophesy that to you. You got to be able to look at the word of God and say that to yourself. I'm bringing forth fruit in this year,
yes,
of establishing,
yes,
because this is my season. This is my season.
Wow.
And if you don't say that to yourself, but I say it, don't mean nothing in your life.
Yes.
And everybody else around you that's saying something might be flourishing, because what you say becomes the fertilizer to the type of tree you are.
That's right.
What you say is your fertilizer. And so if you're speaking, you're going to get.
Amen.
You understand? And I told you I was deliberate, so I don't say the words, but
don't relinquish your authority today, babe.
Look at this. His leaf also shall not wither. Whatever has been drying up in your life.
Yes. Establishing Jesus.
Whatever has been drying up in your life, we speak,
yes,
a replenishing to
replenishing
that thing right now.
Now
his
Jesus
leaf
name.
Shall not wither. His leaf shall not fold or dry up or become so desolate or dry. In other words, the leaves only wither when the tree is not planted and the roots are not drawing water from the rivers. The leaf requires the root to be a filtration system to get the water and to bring it up,
yes,
to the branches and then get it out to the leaves so the leaves can flourish. And the indication of the leaf is that the root is doing what it's supposed to.
Amen. Amen.
His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. Whatsoever he does shall prosper. We speak this year.
Yes, we do.
That you are firmly planted, that you are established.
Yes, rooted.
That you are anchored and that you are rooted.
Rooted and established.
And that you are now by rivers of waters that will refresh your whole life.
Yes.
We speak that the private arenas of your life will be the filtration system that will put you on public display. And when people investigate you like Jesus did,
yes,
the fig tree, they won't look at you and say, you're advertising that,
yes,
you're a Christian, but the closer I get to you, the more you don't look nothing like your Christ.
Yes.
But now when I come to you, I see fruit. And what is that fruit? The words that come out of your mouth, they,
yes,
carry water and they refresh me. And so,
yes,
even though I may be in a dry place, when I get around you and you release words, those,
yes,
words,
yes,
become water.
Yes.
They become life. Yes. They become health. And I leave you feeling stronger than I did when I came in your presence. That's an indication of where you are and how you're planted. But if I come up on you and you're a believer and you leave and I leave you and I'm drained and I'm withered and I'm dry, I got to investigate. Man, where are you drinking from?
Wow.
Well, what bitter stream are you planted next to? This is not the river of life or the river of water that's in Psalms 1. Sure. This is a bitter stream. And the prophet says, we got to do something about this. Does anybody got some meal?
Yes, 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 yes.
There's death in this stream that you're getting your water from. Yes. And I need to bring healing to that place. I need to put something back in there so that you can live and not die.
Yes.
Somebody give God praise.
Hallelujah.
Right there. We got to be able to
Hallelujah.
Rewater and refresh people.
Be refreshed. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Even in this year of establishing, we wanted you to jot down. We hit on a few definitions. We want to release a few more to you today. Amen. If you're taking notes, please write these definitions down. Another definition of establish is to introduce biblical teachings / principles that take root and cause growth and multiplication.
Huh.
And you can use Psalm 1 as a reference point for that. To introduce such as biblical teachings and principles that take root in our lives, come on, and cause growth and multiplication in the body of Christ. So we're not looking at the body of Christ growing the body of Christ, but we can only grow the body of Christ when we reach out to the sinners, to those that are still walking in the ways of the world, amen? So we can't avoid them. See, our roots ought to be deep and strong enough, can I say this, that we're not afraid or timid when we come into the presence of someone who's still walking in the world. It ought to be so rooted, Mother Etna, that we ought to go running into their presence, come on, out of boldness and authority, knowing that by the time we get done with this conversation, you're going to cross over, come on, to the side of living a life for Christ, as opposed to me being lured, come on, and tempted, and now wondering, how come I'm not doing that kind of stuff and still professing the name of the Lord?
Amen.
You with us?
Look at this before you give another definition. I don't know much about planting, but I watched my grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
And anytime she was growing something, and if there was a plant that she liked and other people came to the house and liked, they would say, Roselle, can I get a piece of that plant?
Pluck a part off.
Can I get a piece of that plant?
Yep.
And I want to grow that same plant. So this plant growing in this pot can suffice you taking a piece of it and uprooting a piece of this plant, and then I bring it into my house, and I can plant that plant in my house, and it's an offshoot.
Yes, yes.
That's who we are with Christ.
Yes.
We are offshoots of who he is.
Yes.
And then if we're offshoot of branches of him, what is it that's in my life that somebody ought to be able to take a piece of and grow it in their life, and it's not counted as robbery in my life?
Wow. And
it's not robbing from me.
Grandma didn't just pluck it off up here and say plant it, because that's just a bare branch. And we're giving people shallow word when we come in. We're giving people this part saying go plant this, and it's not being fruitful, and it's not multiplying, and it's not accomplishing anything in their life. But when we give them the root and they take that root, and guess what? When you give them the root, you don't stand there and wait and say, hey, did you go plant it in some good soil? Baby, after I give it to you, it's up to you what you're going to do with it.
What you going to do with it?
We got to let that thing go. We got to begin now to water. Come on, now we talk about they need to water that root that we gave them. Come on, we're waiting for them to water it with the word in their home. But how many of you know we can water it with the word through the prophetic release of God's word over their life? And the root that we give them, come on, it won't have a choice.
But to grow.
But to grow.
But to grow.
But to grow deeper.
And watch this.
Put a demand on that prophetic word of the Lord, saints.
Uh-huh. Give them instruction on how to deal with the plant or the root or the offshoot that you give them. Because I saw other people come and say, Roselle, I took that root and I took that piece from you, but mine ain't growing like yours growing. And she said, now where did you place it in your house? Some of us get the word on Sunday and we take it back and we put it in the wrong room.
Put in the wrong one.
We put it in dark rooms with no light and no sunshine, and we're not watering it, and we're not checking in on it and making sure that it's getting nutrient. And then we come back and we say, mine ain't growing like yours. Ain't nothing to that.
Yeah.
Look at somebody and say, you got to plant it in the
right
place.
You got to plant it in the right place.
Got to plant it in the right place. What's another definition?
Jot this definition down, and then we'll move forward. To begin, that's something new that's starting with us.
To begin.
To be established. Uh-huh. To begin or create something that is meant to last throughout a lifetime. Huh. Establish. And jot down Deuteronomy 8:18. We always quote this scripture. God has given me the ability to produce wealth. God has given me the ability and the power and to create wealth. Well, let's look at the scripture here. It says Deuteronomy 8:18. And you shall remember the Lord your God. That means don't get so caught up in it just being your ability to produce wealth. Remember the Lord your God, for it is He that gives you the ability or the power to create wealth. There is not a period there. There's a comma. That means keep reading. It says that He has given us the ability or the power to produce wealth, comma, that He may establish His covenant, which He swore to your fathers as it is today. Now write down, I love it because that's 8:18. Now write down Deuteronomy 8:8. They go hand in hand. God says, every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe them, comma, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to your fathers.
Wow. Wow. When you look at that.
So let me say this, babe. It didn't start with us. So it shouldn't end with us.
It shouldn't stop with us.
The promises of God started with our forefathers. Mm-hmm. And those that remembered the word that the Lord promised and spoke to them over the years now has placed a demand on us when they birthed us into the earth realm to carry out the promises and carry them into our future generations. Because how many of you know they've gone on to be with the Lord?
Yeah.
But they didn't forget it, so they taught us. So the reason we have to share and teach others that come into our presence is because we can kill and steal and destroy the promise of God just by forgetting what He said and no longer releasing it to those that come into our presence or that we birth. In the natural
and in the spiritual.
And in the spiritual.
That's right.
Please don't think Apostle and I are the only ones. We birth sons and daughters at RCC. Lisa, where do you work? Flawless, you birthing, you ought to be birthing sons and daughters at Flawless. TJ, where do you work? We birth sons and daughters out of our spiritual womb that have been planted and birthed through me, planted through Apostle, birthed through me, but you ought to be birthing some sons and daughters at Gold Key Resort. Where you work, Donna? We birthing sons and daughters. We're increasing and multiplying, replenishing the earth with believers at RCC. You ought to be birthing some sons and daughters and replenishing the earth with sons and daughters at Christopher Newport University. So we want to just defy the fact that the enemy would speak and say, we're the only ones that have a realm or a scope of birthing sons and daughters. Wherever it is, whatever it is you're putting your hand to do, in whatever arena, God is calling you to birth sons and daughters and be fruitful and multiply. You ought to be duplicating yourself even in your workplace. That's why business owners are fulfilling the will of God, because they're not afraid to say, I can give you everything I got, and if I give it to you, baby, go be fruitful, multiply, and do greater works than I. Why? Because we still connected, and I'm going to still reap the benefits. That's why business owners are ordained by God. We don't sit on our gifts. We are commanded to go and give everything we got and release the fruitfulness in the land. Come on, are you catching it?
That birthing process
lasts throughout a lifetime.
That birthing process is not through the natural canal in saying I'm birthing sons and daughters because we plant a seed and then they come out. But that birthing process is by the first pillar that you see behind us, love.
Through love, that's good.
When you plant the seed of love,
oh, that's good.
It births people into the body of Christ.
That's good.
You understand? Love is the law of birthing.
That's the law.
In the body of Christ.
Wow.
And so when you hear Pastor Vicky, I don't want you to hear this term sons and daughters and think, well, I don't know all about that stuff in that language. No, the love factor is the piece that you're talking about. The love that we show you is the love that you're showing others.
Yes.
But we can't show you what God didn't show us. And then God can't use you if he didn't show it to you.
Yes.
So it's not us. It's just an offshoot or a planting.
Yes.
But you still have the ability to do the same thing because you walk under the same banner or in the same house or the same building of love. Look at this.
Good.
When you talk about establishing, it simply means to put in a favorable position.
Mm-hmm.
To put in a favorable position.
Yes, it does.
So when she asks you, where do you work? That's a favorable position
for
you.
Yes, that's good, babe.
It's a position that you have been put to release favor and to release the love that you have. But most of us don't like where we've been put.
Wow.
Most of us don't like our job.
Wow.
And so we go on our job and we just like lemon juice.
Wow.
We just as downcast and we just as angry and mean and don't want to talk to nobody. We walk in and go to our office if we got to that level,
mm-hmm.
close our door,
mm-hmm.
sit behind our desk, don't come out for lunch,
mm-hmm.
stay in the room. People knock on the door scared and shaking and trembling. I don't know what, oh Jesus, I need to just ask him a question, but
Ooh.
I don't want to get snapped at today.
Yes.
And we supposed to be showing love.
Yeah. Yes, yes. Baby, let me say this. In corporate America, the only time I stayed away from the people is when I was still in a weak condition, a weak state. And I couldn't risk being in their presence because I was subject to being pulled down, Pastor Beverly. But wisdom would say stay away, still speak, and still show love. But you ain't ready to fellowship with them yet. So I had to sit in a private room, Pastor John, during lunchtime and open up my Bible and pray regardless of what they said about me.
Uh-huh.
Because I knew, John A., there would come a day, hallelujah, where I would be rooted, built up, and established in my faith. Where I could come back into their presence. Let me get back over here. Irma, I could come back into their presence and I could say what thus saith the Lord, and it would be received with all power and all authority, and because of the Holy Spirit that's resting, ruling, and abiding over all those pillows.
Uh-huh.
Somebody better catch that.
Yeah, that was some authority.
It's all about timing.
Look at this. Establishing favor with God.
Favor with God.
When we establish favor with God, it says we gain full, and that's the key word, full recognition and acceptance of who we are in Christ.
Full recognition and acceptance.
And that's when doors begin to open for us.
Full recognition and acceptance.
Most of us are looking for full recognition, but we really don't know who we are in Christ yet. And so he can't relinquish that authority because we might abuse it with the position. We might abuse it with the title. We might abuse it from the place of where we're standing.
Wow.
And we might not put him on display, and we might make a mockery of him in the high place. And so he says, man, I got to make sure you fully know who you are in me so that you ain't waiting on an evaluation.
Ooh. Fully know.
Most of us are waiting on evaluations. Hey, Pastor, how do you feel about the pastors, the elders, the ministers, and the deacons? Can you evaluate us? No, what does Christ say about you? What is he evaluating you on? Are you doing what he called you to do?
Right,
I didn't call you. I didn't hire you. I didn't employ you. I don't pay you. I don't got a heaven for you. I don't have a crown or a reward. So you asking the wrong man. I'm trying to see how is he evaluating me? God, did I give you enough time this week? Am I going off of foreknowledge? Am I going off of professionalism?
Wow.
Am I going off of what I already know? Am I getting lifted up in pride because I know a little something about you? God, what do you think about me?
Wow.
And if there's anything in me, Psalms 139, here's the evaluation. You look into me. You see what it is and what it's not, and you cut it out and take it out, and you get rid of the stony heart and put in the heart of flesh, that I can be more like you.
Wow.
More like you,
and
that I can be established and planted.
And people who don't have this teaching will sit in the pew and wonder, how come the pastor don't just get rid of them? How come the pastor don't just relinquish them from their title? Because if we didn't hire you, we can't fire you.
If God kicked
you there, then guess what? The Spirit of God is going to have to tell you it's time for you to go. Because how many of you know you start feeling guilty and shameful and condemned when you're getting paid to do a work and you don't fulfill the responsibility?
Watch this.
There should be some guilt and shame.
Look at this. Most people are too afraid to make their own move, so they need somebody to give them an out. And so they wait for a boss to fire them when they quit years ago.
They
wait for a pastor to relinquish them when they left years ago. But they're too intimidated to do it on their own. So they need a reason when they get to the next place to say, they told me to leave.
Yep.
They put me out. No, you left a long time ago.
You just
didn't go nowhere.
Amen.
Another definition real quick. And then we got to do this. I got another one. It says, look at this. To install or settle in a position, place, or business. That deals with leadership. Mm. To install or settle in a position, place. That could be a business, a church, a family, or anywhere. That's one. But then this one. To bring about permanently.
Permanently.
Established. To bring about permanently.
Yes.
This is not the year when we set up watch night to be wishy-washy.
Yes.
This day I'm up, tomorrow I'm down.
Yes.
I'm governed by my feelings and not by my spirit. And so I don't know when and where I am, and I don't know who I am. And so now I'm governed by my spirit, by my flesh, and by my feelings. And so now you don't know who you're going to get when you come to talk to me.
Wow.
And so I have to discern you from afar. Apostle Banks used to always talk about Mother Banks, the mood ring.
He used to talk about
the mood ring, and you got to know what mood the person is in before you got to look at the ring to see who you're dealing with. And so many of us are that same way, but God says,
wow.
I'm trying to bring you about to where your countenance can be on permanent display.
Amen.
Regardless of where you are in me,
Amen.
Your countenance won't give you away. You can be racked in pain.
Yes.
You can never know how I'm feeling, because when you look at me from the outside,
Ooh.
It's not going to be any indicator, but the hand of God is on
yes.
my life. But I could get in my car and tears could be rolling down my
yes.
face. I could be racked in pain. But when I step out, I'm not being phony. I'm not going to give anything else the glory but who my God is. And I'm going to walk in this way of life until He shows me
yes.
that He can bring me out
yes.
and fully deliver me. I'm not going to be stopped by where I am, because I'm established in my walk with Christ.
Wow. Give God
I'm established.
Praise. We speak
I'm established.
That. We decree
Amen.
That. The hand of God shall take precedence over any feeling and any emotion, any situation, any status, come on, any circumstance, any balance that's in the checkbook, any attitude of the kids. Come on, His glory, His word, His presence will take precedence in my life. Somebody shout on a permanent basis.
Permanent basis.
That temporary stuff is over.
Amen.
Amen. In dealing with the nine pillars,
look at that.
You see the nine pillars up here. Amen. Last week, we had left off in just making sure you understand the nine pillars and what it's symbolic of. And so we want to reintroduce that to you briefly, okay? If you're taking notes, jot down that nine pillars, symbolic. Nine is the number of judgment and finality. Amen. And how many of you know God is the ultimate judge of all matters? So look at your neighbor and say, you're not the judge. Look at the same neighbor and say, and I'm not the judge. Look at that same neighbor and say, God is the ultimate judge of all matters. Let's get this straight, okay? Nine is the last of the single digits, as you know. Thus, nine marks the end, amen, of one and the beginning of a new cycle. And so nine is significant of the conclusion of the matter. Jot that down. So the question is asked, what time was Jesus nailed to the cross? Write down, the Bible, the word says He was nailed to the cross the third hour of the day. That's 9 a.m. in the morning. We ask the question, how long did Jesus hang on the cross? The word says He dismissed His spirit at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Write this down. That's the ninth hour of the day. By then, Jesus' work was done. It was finished on Calvary. You taking notes? Okay, nine represents a cycle of finality, and we see it in the generations from nine generations from Adam to Noah. Then we see the flood. The flood represented, come on, write this down, God's judgment on the people. After the flood, we see literally nine more generations from Noah to Abraham. Come on, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It was finished at that point, and now the lineage of Christ can begin. You see that? And so when you look at the judgment that came with the flood, write down Genesis 9. These nines are significant before we go into the pillars. I don't know how many weeks we're going to spend on the pillars, but write this down.
None.
Oh, Jesus. Write down Genesis 9:11. Hurry up, students. God tells Noah, come on, nine represent judgment. I want you to get this in your spirit. So in Genesis 9:11, God says to Noah, I will never again send a flood to destroy the earth. In the same chapter, Genesis 9:13, write this down. God says to Noah, I set my rainbow in the clouds to be a sign of my eternal covenant between me and the earth. Amen. Did you write that down? So you see the nine generations, you see the judgment in the middle, and then you see another nine generations. Also take note that according to Galatians 5:22 and 23, just write this down, there are nine fruit of the Spirit. And there's no S because each of the individual fruit work together. But notice that the first fruit is love. That's where it all starts. And then also write down that 1 Corinthians 12:8-10, we see nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. And so when you start dealing with that judgment, when God says to Noah, I will never send a flood to destroy the earth again, you still have to keep in mind that what God does is that he becomes the ultimate judge, where when all things are said and done in this one life we live, Romans 2:16 says, God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ. We see 1 Corinthians 4:5 says, therefore, we are to judge nothing before the time. The time is when the Lord shall come, and he will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of our heart. So we see through those scriptures and so many others that somebody say, God is the ultimate judge. He don't have to wipe us out. He wants us to walk in the promises, the eternal covenant that he gave with us and our children and our what? Unborn grandchildren and great-great-grandchildren. All of these will continue on throughout a lifetime if they remain to be obedient to what? Not just what we said, because what we're saying is the word. So if they're obedient to what we have said and taught them over time, Elder Ray, then they're being obedient to the word. What are we telling our children? Because just as we will stand before the judgment throne of Christ, come on, somebody ought to be worried and concerned, because our children and our children's children will have to stand before the throne of judgment.
That's right.
And answer, say it, for themselves.
For themselves.
Answer for themselves. Amen? Amen. So that's what we see somebody say in the number nine.
Number nine.
In the number nine.
Look at this with that last scripture you just read. Therefore, judge nothing before the time.
Yes, sir.
Therefore, judge nothing before the time. There's a principle that Christ is trying to speak, or that Paul is trying to get the church to understand. God is trying to eradicate prejudice out of his body. If you read that and read that just based on what you're reading and don't see the definition, then he gives the definition of what prejudice is.
Yes.
Judging before the time.
Before
prejudice
the time.
Means to prejudge. To prejudge,
wow.
To prejudge,
go
to prejudge.
Ahead.
To prejudge is to judge before the time.
Yes.
He's saying, when
wow.
you of my body are judging people before the
That's
time,
good.
You're not acting like me.
Wow.
You're being prejudiced. And then you got a problem when people act like that towards you.
Woo.
When people prejudge you on a thing based on what they don't see with your qualifications, with your skin color,
wow.
with your tone, with your gender, when people prejudge you, you got a problem with it, but you're representing me and you're prejudging or you're being prejudiced against people.
Wow.
You're speaking against them before the time, before I finish establishing or doing what it is that I want to do in their life. All I'm doing is getting them ready for what I'm about to do in their life, and you still see the sin side of them, but I see what I'm doing in their life, getting their attention, and all I want you to do is be a mirror for me.
Wow, amen.
Don't prejudge them and call them out about what they're doing. You become the mirror of the standard of the law of love.
Amen.
That's why this first pillar you see up here is love. Somebody just write that thing down.
Write it down, love.
Look at this when you look at love.
Love.
First John, when you go home, just read that whole chapter. First John chapter 4. But for the sake of time, 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, it says, Beloved, let us love one another. Let us love who?
One another.
We ain't got no problem loving God. It's that one another problem we got. We good with God. And if it was just us and him, we got all we need. But when we got to deal with somebody else, you understand?
Jesus.
I'm preaching this gospel, but I don't like people. Have you seen a bigger oxymoron than that? I'm supposed to be his representative for his love for people, but I don't like what he loves.
Well, I just as soon avoid them to keep the peace in my life. Come on, I'm not telling what I heard. I'm telling what I've been through myself.
Beloved, let us love one another.
I just as soon avoid them to keep the peace in my life. That's not the love of God.
You gotta
He didn't avoid us when we were waddling in misery and sin.
At all.
He turned his heart and his attention to us.
He did.
Wow. Somebody say, ouch.
Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Love is of God. And everyone that loves is born of God.
Mm-hmm.
You might be calling on the name of Jesus, but if you ain't got this love thing right.
Yes.
Your daddy is not God.
It's not. Wow.
You got a different daddy. And his name is the
Lucifer,
Satan, Diablos, however you want to call him. He got a different name than the name that you're calling on, because he says, look at this.
Wow.
Everyone that loves is born of God and knows God.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't love, you don't know God. Mm-hmm. I didn't write that. It's right there in this scripture, and you got to break it down and read it like it's written.
Amen.
He says, and he knows God. Verse 8, he that loveth not knows not God. Can it be any plainer than that? He that loveth not knows not God. I know I got an English lexicon that I could translate that in, but I choose to take this literal.
Yes.
He that loveth not knows not God, but I like this part behind it in verse 8, for God is love.
I love it.
God is love. Ooh. You need to highlight that in your Bible. You need to underscore it. The God that we call on is love.
Yes.
Somebody say it with me. God is love. Why is this? God is love. God is love. God is not like us. He don't have to work on love. He don't have to attempt to show his love.
Mm-hmm.
When I married you, I have to keep doing the things I did to an even greater level for you to believe that I still love you because I have to make an attempt at love.
Yes.
But love is not God, or else I would be able to do it and I wouldn't even have to work at it.
Yes.
Love is not God, but God is love. You can't flip that around and say love is God. No, it's not, because that means it would be humanly possible for everybody to just do what they do and love would be all over it.
Yes.
No, you got to have God in your life before you can operate in the law of the legacy of love.
Yes.
When I marry her and I learn who God is, and then he began to abide in me and I abide in him, and then my love becomes permanent and on display. God does not work or try or attempt to manifest his love. He is love.
Yes.
Somebody say it again.
He is love.
Watch this. Everything God does, the essence of who he is, his attributes, and his works.
Say it.
Everything he does is love. When God got ready to create, he created with love already in it.
Yes.
You got to catch this. When God heals, he heals with love. When he delivers, yes, he delivers with love. When he corrects or rebukes, he corrects or rebukes, yes, with love. Because God is love, all of his activity consists of love.
Yes.
And so for us to be more like him, we have to work on the love side of our life.
Yes.
How much more love can I get in me? Some of us are married and don't even love that person we married to no more.
Yes.
We tolerate them because we heard that song, it's cheaper to keep them.
Yes.
We got so many years invested that if I leave now,
yes,
you're going to get 50% of, yes, everything I got.
Yes.
And I can't even live off of 100%. And,
yes,
so now I got to act like I love you,
yes,
and stay with you. But,
yes,
but you can't act out love. Love is authentic. Love is real.
Yes.
Love has to be on display. And you can't just tell me you love me without showing me you love,
yes,
me. Every time God wakes,
yes,
us up in the morning,
yes,
his mercy has love in,
yes,
it. Know,
yes,
when to give him a praise.
Hallelujah.
His mercy got love in it. When you gave him your life and accepted Jesus,
yes,
love was already in that,
yes,
because John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world, not those that were saved, he so loved the world that while you were yet sinners, let's jump to Romans 5:8,
yes,
while you were still a sinner,
yes,
he loved you and, okay, gave himself for,
yes,
you. Love is not just what you say out your mouth. Love is what
you do
for the unloved people.
Yes.
The people that you don't like and,
yes,
that you don't want to deal with and you don't want to be around and is acting a fool in your life, he says, I still love you because I can't change my nature.
Yes.
I can't change my essence. I can't change my activity. Even though you turn your back on me, I'll love you until you turn,
yes,
back around.
Yes. Yes. Hallelujah.
Come on, come on. You got to work,
hallelujah,
with that. You got to work,
hallelujah,
with that.
Hallelujah. How many of you love words of wisdom? I want my women of wisdom to stand. Elaine, Gwen, Edna, Marie, you know Kay, even Jackie, what you spoke on last Sunday. Mother Jackie, stand to your feet. Mother Louise, any other women of wisdom in here? One thing that has been spoken prophetically to me when I reach out to every last one of these women of wisdom is that Apostle and I, through the love of God, will take over this city. And they have based it on a couple of things. They say, Pastor, because of your visible, tangible love for God, am I lying? They say, your tangible and visible love for yourself, because we are one. See, people walking around here talking about something, I hate you. Well, you hate yourself. Husbands hating and beating up on their wives, they hating and beating up on themselves. Wives having those temper tantrums, throwing things. You throwing things at yourself. What's it? What love is that?
It's not love at all.
So let me say it again. They say because of the tangible, visible love you have for yourself and the tangible, visible love you have for others. Three is the number of completion. They release the prophetic word of the Lord over my life and water me all the time. And they say, mother bump into me. That's why RCC is growing. That's why you all can take over the city. I'm speaking prophetically what they have spoken to us. So I ask you the question, what's holding you up from taking over territory and city and regions that God has called you to take over? What's holding you back from causing your territory to expand and to grow and being fruitful and multiply? Is it that we're not showing enough love? Mothers, you can take your seat.
Maybe
I just wanted to highlight you.
Love.
Haven't received love, so you can't release the love of God.
Sometimes we think we've received love, but we're still where we were. And we've made a mental ascent instead of a faith connection. And the only way we know it is that when we look at the record.
Wow.
And say, man, was that like God?
Yeah.
You understand? Love shifts our mindset. And I'm going to be dealing with this in a couple of weeks. Theocentric thinking. Our thoughts have to become the thoughts of God, not looking at God after we think them and say them.
Yeah.
We can't just ask, what would God do? But we have to ask, how would God
do this? Because love is an action word.
You understand? God has to become first. And so when you see love up here on this chart, That simply is the word for God. That's why love is first, because God is preeminent in all things. And the Bible says God is love. Yes. So love had to be first thing up there. Paul says, man, I could preach.
Wow, Pat.
I could prophesy. I could do all of these things in 1 Corinthians 13.
Nothing.
He said, but if I don't have God.
It profits me nothing.
If I don't have God, it profits me nothing. I could tell you everything in the Bible, but if God didn't tell me, I don't have no reward for this thing when I get to heaven. And you can get there with all of your rights and benefits. So stop hating on the man and woman of God because you're looking at their lifestyle, but look at the word of God that's coming out of them and see, can you turn love on? You love them while
action.
You know that they're not doing everything they're supposed to be doing instead of being prejudiced? Instead of prejudging them, he over there doing this, this, and this, and they don't know why. I don't know why them people sitting up under him.
Because of the love of God.
Why are you prejudging? Because if God didn't want him in there, he got a plan to get him out. He could execute his legal plan to bring him out because all he got to do is just not wake him up in the morning.
Yeah. Hey, babe, let me ask another question. Just slip your hands in the air if you know you are serving some type of way in the kingdom of God. It could be in this local house, or it could be in a house outside. It could be at VOA. But I'm serious, because folk think only ministry is taking place in here. Irma Cooper, you're doing more ministry at VOA, sitting with patients who've been diagnosed with cancer, than some people who come every Sunday is doing in the kingdom of God with checking off their attendance record 4 Sundays out the month. So just, slip your hand in the air. You don't have to slip it high unless you're just proud of it. I'm proud of the fact. So when Pastor Charlie talked, keep your hand there. When he said that Paul says, I can have all these gifts, I can do all these great acts, but and release all of these prophecies, but if I don't have love, I don't have anything. It's because it goes on to say, out of all of these things, love is the greatest. Keep your hand in the air. Keep your hand in the air. So Paul says love is the greatest, but then when you look at Mark chapter 12, Mark says the greatest in the kingdom is the servant. Why is it? Keep your hand in the air. Why is it that the servant is the greatest in the kingdom? Because the servant is able to humble himself and say, I am nothing. This ain't even about me. The servant in the kingdom is the greatest because he says, not my will, but your will be done. The servant in the kingdom says, I don't want to do this, but I love you enough, God. I love these sinners. I love these that's still in the world. I love the world enough that I will sacrifice myself for them and serve in your kingdom. So when you don't see yourself serving in the kingdom of God, be it in RCC or outside of RCC, that's where you can begin to put a red flag up and say, do I really love the way that they're teaching on January the 18th, 2015? And if not, we've got to consider our ways. We've got to examine ourselves. You look at Mother Rhonda. Mother Rhonda stand up. I love picking on the women of wisdom because folk think that I've heard. Have y'all ever heard? I'm 80. I'm 40. I'm 50. I'm 60 years old. I've been serving all my life. I'm done serving. I just want to sit down and enjoy myself. Y'all ever heard that saying? I'm done. I'm all wore out. The first week or two, Mother Rhonda came into our presence and felt the love of God so strong and the teaching of the greatest in the kingdom is the servant. I walked past the resource center and Amber, I had to do a double take. I'm like, who is that? There stands Mother Rhonda. How old, Mother? 61 years old, Agro. Put the camera on Mother. 61 years old. She is wise enough to say and know, my time isn't up. How many of you know when you tap into the fresh move of God, the season hasn't ended? Baby, my season has only begun. And great shall be my reward when I get in heaven. Mother, how many of you say, I want my reward and my crown, and I want all of them. Holy Ghost, don't hold nothing back. I want so many crowns, they start falling off my head. Yeah. I said, just put them in my hand right here. I'll carry these on into the streets paved with gold. I'll carry these in the glory.
That's it.
But we commend you and all the other men and women of wisdom who are serving out of love, because we prophetically decree to you, yes, greatest in the kingdom is the servant, the man and the woman of God who's able to still put their hand to the plow even in their golden years. I don't know about you, but I received that grace and that anointing for my 44-year-old life. Do I got any young men and women of God, come on, that can stand on your feet and decree and declare that as it is with the men and women of God in RCC, that 60 and 70 and 80 and 90 years old, so shall it be with me, God. I won't give up until they roll me down the aisle and says ashes to ashes, dust to dust, but I'm exiting out of my physical body into a spiritual state with the Father. We're seeing something at RCC that a lot of ministries don't see and witness. And I just want to take it that minute to serve notice on the enemy who says there come a time where you just come in and you just take your seat and there's no more ministry in you. Mother Banks still at the resource center. Deacon Edna, ministry head of a satellite ministry at RCC. Mother Elaine out in Gwen, out on the evangelistical field. The first faces I see at Denby Community Center is Mother Gwen and Miss Elaine. Knowing that our assignment is not going to get easier, but it's going to be greater because of the servant that's in us. Amen.
Amen. Come on, give God a
hallelujah.
Praise.
Thank God for what we're sensing and seeing in this ministry.
Amen. Come on, give him
somebody's
a
been whipped. Somebody's been ready to give up. Go ahead, babe. Somebody's been ready to give up. But just lift your hand in the air as Apostle going to what he's sharing. Just lift your hand in the air. Nobody's looking at you. If everybody would close their eyes, because somebody needs to acknowledge not to man who's being nosy on the outside, but somebody needs to acknowledge to God, God, that's a word that I'm receiving right now. I see so many hands lifted. You don't need to see the hands. Obedience is obedience. I asked everybody to close their eyes, but some people still looking at me. Obedience is total obedience. And to those hands that's lifted, Kim and Jonathan and all of you, God has a place for you in his kingdom. And I decree that he shall come and speak to you through dreams. And he will reveal to you his purpose and his plan for you. You will not die without fulfilling and birthing forth the seed that he planted in you. I speak that to everybody that's bold enough to lift your hands before the Lord. Time out for pride. Time out for looking like I'm serving and acting like I got it going on. But God, I need you to reveal to me your word for my life. And if you don't do it now, God, I'm at the end of my rope. And I'm about to let go, but the intercessors are praying for me. Mother, your assignment is going to be so vivid to you. And you're going to run with such urgency, Mother. And I decree that as you run, your youth shall be renewed as an eagle. You will not faint. You will not grow weak or weary in well-doing. You've seen it all around you. In as much as you have seen it, Mother, so it shall manifest in you. So shall it be birthed in you, Mother. The beginning, the new thing that I'm doing is just getting started. It's just getting started in you. You know they're looking at you. You know boys and girls, men and women are watching you. And as they watch, they shall see you go higher. They shall see you be elevated. They shall see you excel. And they shall emulate the anointing, the faith that they see in your life. Just receive that if you had your hands lifted in the air. You know this is a free house. Whatever you feel led to do, If your hands are lifted, I'm just going to decree, do it. Whatever you feel led to do, just do it.